registrar stakeholder group meeting 3:30, Tuesday, April 9.
So we're going to get started here again, folks. If you could start to take your seats. We have the folks from the nominating committee in the room. I think it's worth our time to let them have about 15 minutes, and then we'll try to get to a quick bylaws discussion. Apologies, Tom, but just reshuffling some things. No, Stefan, you do not sit up here. Nope, you don't get to sit up here. Sorry. Apologies. No, are we good? We got the audio? And let's go ahead. Stefan, if you're going to sit up at the table, we need your complete attention, please.
I told you.
Yes, exactly. Your complete attention, please. So,
Stefan, I was following orders.
And with that, I'll turn things over to Cheryl. Cheryl.
Cheryl, do you want to have the, to take the floor?
All right. good afternoon. My name is Yrjö Länsipuro, the NOMCOM chair for 2013. Thank you very much for letting us in. We have basically three messages for you. First of all, we need a good candidate pool in order to do anything. Without a sufficient number of good candidates, our work is pretty much futile. So we ask you to apply or to tell your acquaintances and friends whom you think that would make good candidates and good ICANN leaders to apply. And that's that includes, of course, people of all categories and all levels and sectors of posts we're talking about. And we're talking about, of course, three members of the board, two open slots in the GNSO, one in each house. We're talking about one CCNSO council slot and three ALAC, of which one is for Africa, one is for Australia, Asia, Australia, and Pacific Islands, and one is for Latin America and the Caribbean. The second message we want to leave with you is that NOMCOM is no black box, or at least is not anymore a black box. It's not a bunch of cardinals, in spite of our red, you know, name tags, that congregate somewhere in secret, and then you know, out comes this white puff of smoke, and then you have a pope. Of course, the names need to be confidential. We have to have strict confidentiality. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any candidates. But this is no excuse for extending the secrecy to all parts of our operations and making a sort of big mystery of this sort of group of people. So in Toronto at our kickstart meeting, we decided to follow the policy that the process is open as much as possible, and the data, that is to say the names, is confidential and secret. We've been implementing this at least in two ways. First of all, there are now monthly reports, monthly report cards, which are issued immediately after our phone calls, after our meetings, and I'm glad here to say that the initiator and the principal mover in writing the first draft and so on and so forth is who else? Stephanie. So Stefan, I'm sorry. So I think that this thing has been welcomed by all stakeholder groups. The other thing is that we have open meetings now in Beijing. There was an open meeting yesterday of the subcommittee on outreach, which was chaired by Cheryl, and today at 5 o'clock is an open meeting of the nominating committee, of the full nominating committee. And I believe that this is first time ever this happens, and I hope that these sort of demonstrate where we are going. It's not necessary that this provides the maximum or optimal transparency of our operations. Perhaps one day you'll find them on my ICANN or whatever, but at least this is a beginning. A third message is that we would like to have your ideas, your advice for our work, that is to say, what kind of people would you like to see as GNSO counselors and also in other positions we're talking about. Please give those ideas here during this meeting or approach us later. So I leave it at this, and I'd like to ask Cheryl to continue, please.
Thanks very much, Yurio. And for anyone who doesn't know me, my name's Cheryl Langdonor. I serve as the chair-elect for this year's NONCOM, which means providing I survive this year, I'm expected to probably take Yurio's seat and chair next year. A couple of little things I wanted to bring up to you as an audience today that I have brought up in other rooms as we've travelled around today. One is, don't just think when you're thinking of talent that you may encourage to come forward to fill out their statements of interest. Don't just think of filling the GNSO council seats and, of course, the board seats, which everyone has a huge and quite necessarily great interest in. But there is absolutely no reason why you in your community may not have an ideal person for the CCNSO Council or indeed a geographically appropriate person for one of the three appointments to the At-Large Advisory Committee. Don't just think in your own yard. Please feel free to contact, promote and gently nudge in our direction anyone you think might have the right stuff. On that, having the right stuff and nudging people, We had a wonderful plan of leaving with each of the people we visited today a little pile of quite conveniently sized business cards because on one side it says how you can go straight into start self-nominating yourself, and on the other side it says how you can suggest somebody who you believe would be good for the job could do it themselves. And Adam is going to talk to you a little more about that in a minute. But for whatever reason, of all the things that seem to have left America, that one particular thing is something that hasn't managed to make its way all the way to Beijing. So don't know where they are. There's all sorts of theories, including a ripe second-hand market. However, Joe, it does have, thank heavens, some of our little bookmarks available, and it really is the sort of thing that, you know, if you pop in the bottom of your briefcase or handbag and you happen to know somebody that may be interested, then they can find out more information. The other thing I wanted to say to you is, of course, it's all about the talent pool. Unless we have the diversity of qualified and appropriate people to choose from, we can only choose from the puddle we have on the 1st of May. So do think seriously about encouraging as many people as possible who are appropriate to put their names into the ring. The confidentiality means that unless they choose to, no one will ever know. If they choose to tell people, that's all right. But from our side of things, no one will ever know that they have applied, unless, of course, they're successful, because, you know, it's a bit obvious at that point in time if we've appointed them. But what people who have applied in the past may not be aware, and you might be talking to them, you might be one of them, is that a failure to be appointed in any one year doesn't actually mean other than you weren't the perfect fit at the top of the pile that time. The sifting and the criteria that's being applied in any given year is fit for purpose for that year. So it may be that the CCNSO Council will say to us, what we desperately need is a trademark attorney. Can't imagine why they would say that to us, but should they say that to us, right? Should that be what they say? If you've tried and you didn't have that, that's a checkbox which would affect your ranking. So encourage people to nominate even if they've nominated before. Now, while we're talking about talent pools, there's always, most years, there is a churn on your representatives in the NomCom. And the GNSO and the constituent parts of the GNSO have a huge amount of influence and sway in the NomCom process. So who you send to us to be the nominating committee members for next year is very, very important indeed. And you need to think seriously about who you can encourage to step forward for those positions as well. I'm all for diversity. I'm wearing a prize-winning sow ribbon. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm wearing a ribbon that says AP Rallo, celebrating diversity. We do need people experienced from the wonderful world of ICANN and all its component parts, but we also need people now who have the direct contact to the types of workplace and social environments, the networks that are going to fill, for example, in the board, people who've certainly managed more than 100 people directly, who've got a significant number of zeros in the bottom lines and balances that they've been looking at. And so for that end, we probably need to find a couple of people in the NomCom who actually live, work and have experienced the C-suite and higher. And at that point, I'm going to stop and let Adam take over, as long as he doesn't breathe at me.
No, I've got a cold, so I'll try not to. Good afternoon, Adam Peake, I think, if we're being recorded. I was very rudely pointing at Stefan earlier because he is a good example of an ideal nominating committee delegate, somebody who does have the knowledge of what occurs in a board of directors and has contacts at that level. So thank you very much for sending Stefan. I said I'd talk about a couple of things. I don't think we can pull up the nominating committee webpage. It's the usual format for a committee in ICANN or a council. It's nomcom.icann.org, so nomcom icann.org. And on there are a couple of things we'd like to highlight for you to perhaps look at. You'll find a section, of course, about the committee's documents, and we'll try and be transparent about that. But more important, at this stage, we're trying to present to you the types of characteristics we're looking for in candidates. And these are coming, these have been sent to us by the community themselves. We've had outreach meetings, and those meetings will continue. The Board Governance Committee has sent us sets of skill sets that they think are desirable, and this is something that's come out of the ATRT process. The CCNSO specifically has given us a document that describes the type of characteristics, not specific, but we're looking for general types of skill sets and experience for the CCNSO, and there's always an opportunity, either directly or preferably via Stefan, to give us more input. Do you think that's accurate? Is that what ICANN needs? So that's something there. Also from the nominating committee website, you find the process for application, nomcomicann.org/apply will take you to the application form. And that is the statement of interest form where you submit your CV, you answer various questions about your experience and why you're relevant and important for us to consider for the positions you're applying for. So that's one extra thing, that's /apply. And then there's also a process for recommending people, and this is particularly important. So if you went to /suggest, that's right, I forget these things, /nomcom.org/suggest, you will go to a form that allows you to make a recommendation of somebody you think should be suitable for these positions. And this is very helpful. It's always nice to have a little bit of support from somebody saying, hey, we think you ought to go and apply for this position. I think that's a nice touch, and it also helps us find people who, you know, people who are experienced like you think should be coming into our community. And that can either be anonymous, you could include you don't have to include your name in the recommendation, but very often it's better if it's not, because then the person understands that they're coming from, well, you, and that's very helpful to us. Thank you.
Great, thank you. I've got Stefan and Michaela in the queue.
Thanks, Matt. Stefan Van Gelder, your NOMCOM rep. So I just wanted to, I mean, this is an interesting group for the NOMCOM to come to, because it generated a little bit of controversy last year for last year's NOMCOM. This is my first year serving on the NOMCOM, so I'm finding my way about, and I have no prior experience, but obviously no prior experience of serving within the NOMCOM, but prior experience of dealing with the NOMCOM from outside through my time on the GNSO and from just being a community member. So I just wanted to highlight two things for this group, which I think is important in the way the NOMCOM is working harder to represent the community interests. I mean, the NOMCOM is a precious tool for bringing outside blood into this organization. It's something that we often overlook, how important, how difficult it is for people that aren't ICANN savvy to come in. And yet, if we look at past NOMCOM appointees, they have brought a lot of qualities to this world. So I think the NOMCOM is a crucial process. I think it's a very important equal process for ways into ICANN key leadership positions. Having said that, the NOMCOM certainly needed to change, and I think it's doing that in two very important ways, which Euro alluded to earlier on. The first being greater transparency, and that is something that was greatly needed. There are two levels of transparency that can work with the NOMCOM. On one level, that can't move. The confidentiality requirements for candidates has to stay. Otherwise, you can't get candidates if they are revealed to the outside world as having applied, which may put them in difficult positions in their existing jobs or situations. So obviously that has to be kept confidential, but the processes for the NOMCOM should be more open. And I think all the people that you see at this table wearing these red lanyards today have pushed for that on this NOMCOM. And I think what I'm seeing of the NOMCOM so far is a very positive desire to make the NOMCOM more open. So at this meeting here, there are historic things happening for the NOMCOM, like open meetings that the NOMCOM has not had before, which the three speakers before me have mentioned. And I encourage you to at least take an interest in those meetings, because there have been requests for more open meetings for the NOMCOM, and that is happening now for the first time. Just the second step of the NOMCOM reinvention, if we can call it that, I think is also looking at the processes themselves, so that it's clearer and more palatable for possible applicants to apply, just so that the process isn't disheartening, so that we end up turning people away rather than having people come in. And that's something, I mean, all those processes are designed to go on for a while. But there are two key issues, I think, for the NOMCOM to come out of the crisis that maybe came to a head last year with a better structure and with a better with better functionalities. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. Michaela.
Thanks, Matt. Michael Nolan, for the record. Just one thing, I mean, with respect to the candidates, is it also helpful for you to receive guidance as to which kind of people we wouldn't want you to see appointing? Okay. Well, that was just the only kind of comment I had.
Great. Any other feedback? Well, thank you all for coming and making the time. Apologies for the scheduling snafu, room snafu, or was that a different group?
I don't know what happened with that.
Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Stefan, for dutifully representing the Registrar Stakeholder Group and your
We know, Stefan, that you love having the ability to come up here.
Yes. Now you and your banana, you and your banana may now leave the stage.
Yeah, do, please. Thank you.
What's next? We're not going anywhere. We're actually staying here for the joint meeting of the registries. They are coming to us because our room is larger. Yes, thank you, Stefan, for attending. You may now go back to sleep. Tom, our time has been compressed, but let's jump in if we can. Mike Subkeys. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Pause first real quick. So I mentioned earlier in the day we want to do a quick photograph for our friend Mr. Cole at home, and I think the photographer's here. So for those of you that want to come up and take a – where are we taking the picture? Down in front? Back? Well, I can give those – I don't know. Namcom bookmarks. Yeah, so let's – if we can get some – other members of the stakeholder group up front. We'll take a quick picture for Tim and send that off to him. We'll just come up kind of right in front of the stage, I guess. For those of you remotely, pretend you're having your picture taken now, please. Thank you.
I was modeled for that, I think.
I'm never in the front row. In the back row of Shakespeare. I'm standing next to the whole crowd.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, guys, we only have like 5 minutes, so I will keep this to 5 minutes. Real quick, I was part of the bylaws working group. We came together because we were concerned that with new TLDs, that where the restrictions about registries owning registrars and registrars owning registries going away, it would change the mix of this stakeholder group, and we wanted to ensure that the stakeholder group was focused primarily on the needs, issues of registrars, especially those who are primarily or just registrars. And so we went through, we did some brainstorming within the working group. We conducted a survey, which 30 of you responded to, provided a lot of great content. And we basically came down to two mechanisms that we think we have in terms of controlling the stakeholder group. One is basically who can vote, and two is who can hold a position, a leadership position on XCOM. And I just want to throw out one of the, you know, address the second one for a second, because I think we have to think through exactly not only the fact that we want to maximize participation, we don't want to exclude anybody just because they're a registrar and a registry, but we do need to think about who we do want to exclude. And I'll throw that out as an open question to you guys right now. Who should not be allowed to vote, even though they are an accredited registrar? Or who should not be allowed to hold a leadership position, even though they are an accredited registrar? Any comments?
Yeah, so I've got, that's not Michaeli, Mason in the queue, sorry. Anyone else want in the queue at this point? Okay, that's a queue. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Mason.
Okay, thank you. First, Tom, thanks for all your good work on this. I know that there were several of us that started this, and you've taken the lead on it, which just on behalf of the group, I want to say thank you, because it's a complicated question. It takes a lot of time, but I appreciate you leading the group through it. So I have a couple of comments. One is, I think in Toronto when we discussed this last, I mentioned that the outcome of this could very much apply to me, because I've moved into a position now where my primary employer is an applicant to be a registry. Although I give policy advice to a number of registrars as well. And I hold office now as a GNSO counselor. So I'm very conscious of that, because I don't want anyone in our group to think that there's any kind of conflict or misrepresentation based on the input that I give to the council on registrar interests. So if anybody does have a question about that, I implore you to approach me and we can talk about it so that there's no question whatsoever. But the reason this topic was of interest to me in the first place is because I see this as an avenue for intellectual property interests to come in and disproportionately influence policy development by vertically integrating with a registrar and then getting sort of consolidating power through the registry stakeholder group, the registrar stakeholder group, the IPC, whoever else. And to be fair, it could be anybody, but that's the first group that came to mind. And with the new universe as it's about to exist, that avenue will become open. So this is the reason that I wanted attention paid to this matter to begin with.
Thanks, Mason. Yeah, I think that was all of our motivations, and I'll just echo Mason's point and thanking Tom for continuing to lead us through this. And I think we're getting close to a point where we're going to hopefully be able to put something out for a actual vote and then have proposed language that we'd put forward, because you know, it's never going to be perfect, but we absolutely need to keep moving. So I've got James Volker and Michaeli. James?
So I just want to echo the thanks for yeah, I've been having problems. I don't know what's going on with the Adobe room. I want to say thanks to Tom for pulling this car out of the ditch and getting it going. That was, something that needed to be done, and it was kind of stuck on the side of the road, so thank you. I think in order to answer your question, we need to understand first and establish the interests that this group is protecting, advancing, and representing within ICANN. Then we can make, I think, a more... we can dial up the resolution a little bit and identify which organizations fall within the scope of that mission and which organizations are outside of it. I think that, the most obvious one are brand registrars or whatever we're calling them, or what are we calling the...
Brand registries?
Top brand.
Are you talking about
registrars for single entity?
Single entity
TLDs. Yeah. So okay, whatever the terminology is. I think that there could be others in this new ecosystem. I'm thinking of You know, in-house registrars that were for other single entities that, you know, I mean, I think there are some proposals for single entity TLDs that aren't brands. You know, I think that would be something that we would want to consider. Is that something that's representative?
So, why don't we address that?
Okay, yeah, let's address it. I'm not saying that I have the answer. I'm saying that's something that we should look at.
But I think you raised a great point, which is what are the unique issues this stakeholder group is trying to address that no one else is trying to address? What are they? Are we the ones representing registrants, or is someone else doing that?
Well, we need to be careful, because then we start talking about business models, right? I mean, no offense, I'm going to pick on John a little bit, but if you're a large portfolio registrar, or if you're, in, I'm going to pick on some of the other folks who may be, if you're managing an aftermarket platform, or some other reason where you're not directly touching the actual registrant, or the registrant is one person or one organization, then are we saying in a retail fashion, in a wholesale fashion, or portfolio? You know, so yeah, I mean, it gets us.
I'm going to pull an Elliot here real quick. Give me an example of who you would exclude.
I'll give you a clear example of ones. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of exclusion. I think it's a matter of limiting their power, I suppose, is the thing. For example, sorry, if you had, say, I'll pick on Google, they're a big enough company. If Google only had a registrar accreditation to be able to register domains under .google, then I would want to see them limited in some respect with respect to voting, giving a weighted voting system or something. It's more complicated when you start looking at, you know, John, for example, and, you know, the aftermarket folks and things like that. But, I mean, you could argue that, let's say, the aftermarket folks are dealing with multiple users, possibly. I don't know. There has to be some way of doing that. But I suppose the thing we're concerned about at some level is the idea of some form of capture, that you end up where you have a lot of people with very, very narrow interests who don't share the interests of others or aren't willing to, give me a word quickly, kind of in understand or listen to the interests of others. But that's what would concern me a lot. I mean, if we go down that route, then ultimately the stakeholder group would be completely worthless. We might as well just have a technical group that just deal with purely operational matters and forget about everything else.
But we still need to take that and translate it into words that can be objectively
Words
applied.
Aren't Michaela's strong point.
Can I throw one more just thought out there?
Yeah,
because right now we're talking about, I'm sorry. But now we're talking about, we define this mission and we say, okay, who's in, who's out. But now what happens if we identify that somebody is out of the, in another area that should be in? So we're talking right now of people who are trying to come in that we want to keep them out. But what if, let's flip that on its head. You know, there's a registry out there somewhere, TLD, and boy, you know, it just didn't get popular. Nobody up here, nobody in the room, nobody out there wanted to carry it, so they formed their own registrar. They took it to market. Let's go get that. You know, by our definitions, if we define that mission, they could be considered someone. So, you know, we need to have the mission.
I think a lot of valid points have been raised. And I think there's also another danger when we exclude, i.e. fully disenfranchise registrars, which is that if they are not represented here or able to be represented here and able to vote here, they might be able to change the dynamics in the contract parties house by setting up their own stakeholder group.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's not about exclusion or inclusion. It's about criteria for membership, criteria for voting. I think we should be careful with the terminology we use. We're not looking to exclude anyone. We're looking to define criteria that makes sense in the changing landscape. So just to be, Mason, are you still thinking of your thought? Michaela, were you trying to say that, in your view, a single entity registrar you would exclude from membership or
no.
Voting? Or did I get that all wrong?
No, I think I'm not sure exactly what the best way of doing this is, but if you'd somebody put on the chat, you know, would IBM
right.
only having an accreditation just to be able to handle .IBM? I mean,
yeah,
they're still a registrar technically, but you know their interests are going to be incredibly narrow.
Right.
Now, taking the case of John, for example, it's a his registrar is going to have a commercial interest to sell domains or to buy domains, and to deal in multiple extensions. So maybe part of a potential solution is, are they accredited in multiple extensions? I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying it's
right.
It is the thing. It's just the other thing with respect to inclusion, that's also a problem. Because if you look around the room, be it in this meeting, in Toronto, wherever, in Durban, in a few months' time, we constantly see the same people turning up. We might get one or two extras who kind of wander in, maybe because they're in the wrong room or confused. But, you know, it's not as if we actually managed to get the geographical diversity right. You have Europeans, you have North Americans, but we don't have much in the terms of geographical diversity. Of like the five or six registrars in Africa, I think there's only one. One is actually a member, the others aren't. If you look at the Asia Pacific registrars, again, they're underrepresented here. And that again is a problem. I mean, when you, like Yoav could speak at length, and please don't, Yoav, about address validation, for example, because of the way addresses are done in Hebrew and in Latin characters, which I know is not directly pertinent to this, but it is a matter of, you know, being able to get that input into, say, REA negotiations or whatever. And I see the Chulk is in the crowd, so we're almost out of time here.
Just one final comment, because I know some of the registries are showing up. What I need is input from all of you on how you would define the criteria to ensure these objectives we're talking about. And for example, think about if dot brand is if you're trying to avoid capture by dot brand, who initially is only going to register names in that one TLD. Don't forget the typical brand who applies for dot brand already has domain names in 200 TLDs. And they can very easily transfer all those into their own registrar. So we need to come up with more concrete criteria that can be applied for these objectives. So I ask you to think about this on the flight home and shoot off some emails to the list.
Yeah, no, again, thanks, Tom, for your continued efforts. And I think, you know, I imagine after this meeting and after the RIA stuff kind of wraps up, this is going to hopefully get some more attention and kind of move quickly. So thank you. So with that, we've got the registries. I see Jeff and John. If you guys, I guess we need to make some room up here, huh? Oh, yeah, Mike. Thanks, Mike. How many does that free up? Three, two? Three. Fist fight over it. Doesn't matter. Huh? Okay, that's fine. Keith, come on up. I'm pretty sure we can find a seat for you. And frankly, I've been sitting all day, so I would yield my seat and I'll stand. I will stand. Yeah, please no vertically challenged jokes in mine and Jeff's presence. It's just rude.
No, you mean honest.
If you want to, I've been sitting. Well, you've been sitting all day too, but I'm going to stand here. So, are you guys a quorum, or are we waiting for anyone else from your side? Yeah, because that. Okay.
Carl is here, and they're ready to talk about that thing. If you want the registrar onboarding thing.
I don't know that we.
You don't
got,
have to. Just want to let you know
okay.
They're available.
Okay. Thanks. So, thanks to the registries for coming to our room. I understand you guys had a better room layout. We had more space, but whatever. You're here, so thanks. We had, I think, three or four topics we kind of wanted to talk through. I don't know if we want to start with the RAA discussion, and maybe you guys can just give a brief status update. I understand you guys talked about it with the board. We weren't in there, so I think you know pretty well where we are with the RAA and staff, and so hopefully that continues to wrap itself up. And actually, that's kind of where we want to, after this, Fadi, the board is in with the GAC, and actually Fadi asked for the negotiating team to be in there for that. So, so Keith, I don't know if you just want to give a overview of where you think we are with the RA.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Is this thing on? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. So I think, as you may know, the registries got together a sub team or a negotiate. Sorry. Is it not working?
Yeah.
Got to be closer. Yeah. All right, that's better. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting used to the new room. So the registries formed a subgroup or a negotiating team. Met with ICANN staff, legal this morning, also with Fadi and Cyrus.
Sorry to interrupt. Could you just make a short announcement of what portion of the meeting this is, just for your transcript, please?
Yes. So this is the joint session between registries and registrar's stakeholder group. Okay. So we met this morning with ICANN staff. Fadi was there for most of the meeting. Cyrus sort of chaired the meeting from ICANN's side. ICANN Legal was there. We went through sort of really initial or preliminary discussions about the new language for the registry agreement, the new GTLD registry agreement. You know, the red line that we are reviewing now was posted on April 1st. There have been subsequent developments specifically around what's now being called the extraordinary amendment process that you all are intimately familiar with. The group this morning working with ICANN staff basically identified, I would say, 9 or 10 issues that we need to work through, negotiate out, or negotiate forward. The biggest issue, I think, remaining probably is around the amendment process. Some questions about dispute resolution process, but we don't need to get into the details there. We have committed to work constructively with ICANN staff on this issue, move this forward, and to, you know, try to reach a form of an agreement that's acceptable or palatable or something we can live with. We're meeting, that same group is meeting again tomorrow morning from 7 to 9, or, well, at 7 o'clock, I should say, at 7. The registries are meeting at 7 to discuss it further, and we'll probably get back with ICANN at the end of that session. Let me stop there and kick it over to Jeff, see if Jeff has anything he'd like to add.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, hold on. We got remote participants. Make sure you state your name before you start. Jeffrey Newman.
This is Keith Drazik, chair of the Registry Stakeholder Group. I just finished, and now I'm kicking it over to Jeff Newman.
This is Jeff Newman. I'm taking the mic from Keith Drazik. And we'll be speaking. Sorry, it's the end of the day. So we discussed a number of issues that we had, as Keith said. A number of the ones, like you said, we're familiar with. There's a few unique ones that are uniquely in the registry agreement, such as subcontract ones, and his code of conduct is one that I know would is probably of interest that we were discussing, and also the PIC dispute resolution policy, which has just been out there not for very long, that we have some comments on, and obviously not wanting everyone in the world to be able to file claims against a registry and have it actually moved more into a compliance function of ICANN as opposed to a third-party action. It's going well. You know, we had a discussion with the board. They understand, and they made a statement that if the registries are not ready to move forward with it, that's obviously they're looking for Fadi to report that back to the board if they do meet on April 20th. I think they will, at least for the registrar agreement. But with the respect to the registry agreement, if Fadi indicates to them that it does not have the support of the registries, however that's determined, they won't move forward with that.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, any questions? Anyone want to sort of any clarification? Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, not on the registry agreement, but on the registrar accreditation agreement. There's a motion in the GNSO Council, and that was proposed by Wendy, I believe, We had discussed it this weekend, and I know Volker had suggested maybe some other language, but I think with intervening events and the fact that you guys are so close that I would think that there's probably no need for the alternate language, and I'm assuming that we would not vote in favor of this motion, that we would essentially try to get them to withdraw it. Is that right?
Yeah, so let's start a queue for that. Mason, if you want to go ahead. And Volker, I don't know if you have anything, but I'll let Mason go. Mason.
Yeah, that was the next item on the agenda, was to talk about motions. Sorry. So, yes, generally what you're saying is correct. I don't think we're in a position to support that. We have a couple of procedural options. One is we can ask for a deferral and just not deal with it this week. The other is we can let it come to a vote. But I don't see that there's any support on the contracted party side for that motion, or for the other one, for that matter.
Okay, I'm sorry, Volker, go ahead.
Yeah, I see the merits in the motion, and I support the spirit that's behind it. But as you correctly said, the recent events have overtaken this motion, and while it could be redrafted to be workable, I don't think the original purpose still applies in this case. So it would only be the council sending a message, and I think that message has already been sent in various conversations that we had over the weekend. So for this motion, I think the need is not there anymore.
This is Jeff Newman again. I think if it does, if we're not able to convince them to withdraw it, I think a deferral is just not, I mean, we're ready to vote on it, so deferral is kind of, but if we do, we're probably going to need to offer an explanation, because I think the people that suggested it actually probably believe that it's in our benefit, so they're going to be a little puzzled. I know this is being transcribed, but how direct do we want to be? I mean, there were two problems with the motion. One was, or there was one really big problem with the motion. The sentiment was okay, but it seemed to end with a statement basically implying that the GNSO has a role in approving the registrar agreements. And so do we wait for that or not even tackle it, or do we just be direct and...
Yeah, so Mason's going to cue jump over McKaylee and respond directly to that. Go ahead, Mason.
The answer is yes. We feel exactly that way, and we brought it up on the over the weekend, so using that as part of our statement won't come as a surprise to the council.
McKaylee, go ahead.
Thanks, Matt. No, I mean, Jeff's point is well made, and it's important. You know, if other members of the community are putting forward motions because they feel that, you know, the multi-stakeholder process is being circumvented, or they want to do something in support of us, even though events may have changed and move forward, we should do our best to make sure that is addressed, it is acknowledged. Because, I mean, for God's sake, when I came into this circus, half the bloody time, the IPC, the BC, the ALAC, the NCUC, the NCSG, the registries, the registrars, and all the other bloody alphabet soup... everybody was fighting with everybody else. I mean, it's nice to see that sometimes they can actually have proper conversations and act like adults, not like a bunch of squabbling kids. So I think, you know, this is something we should welcome and try to work towards, because the idea from some parts of the community that, you know, registrars and registries, in other words, contracted parties, that we don't or can't and cannot possibly understand the issues faced by registrants or end users, I find it, at the best of times, quite a disingenuous, when the reality is that, you know, they are our customers.
Go ahead.
No, I was actually going to switch gears a little bit, still talking about the registrar accreditation agreement, but more specifically on the public comment period that's open and whether there's anything you'd like the registries to consider submitting. But if we're still talking about the motion, then I'll hold off.
Yeah, I think Volker had a point on the motion. Go ahead, Volker.
Just as an idea to try to build bridges there, I had written an alternative version that I circulated amongst registrars, which would have been acceptable to us. I simply don't feel the need is there anymore, but we can still try to get them to amend the motion to the version that I've prepared. And then table it under the argument that we want to see how the RIA negotiations finish up, and if there's a need for it, we can still discuss it at the next meeting over the phone.
We should. This is Jeff Newman. We should probably talk to the proposers offline about this and see what they want to do.
Yeah, agreed. We can get. There's a couple other motions we should get back to. But Keith, to your point, that's a good question. Actually, in terms of public comment, you know, off the top of my head, I don't know. I see if James or Jeff or any other members of the negotiating team have any other input. But yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
Thanks. I think just the on the comment piece, I think one of the items that we heard in the session yesterday, and you know, you always hear it's people say, oh, I submitted comments and it's not in the agreement, so the process is broken, or my comments weren't listened to. I think just the reinforcement that people outside of the contracted parties should not have, you know, should not have a seat at the table in discussing a contract. And there were other processes to get input from those people, but I think, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, write something commending us, but saying that, hey, these guys worked hard, we took input, and it was the right parties were involved in that process, and we believe that that is how some of that process should work when it comes to a contract between ICANN and the registrars. And you know, of course, you want that for yourself, because I think that's important to stress, because people seem to forget it, because we've heard over the last few days saying, we don't know why we weren't involved in the negotiation between these two parties. We should have had a seat at the table.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. Other Jeff, sorry, Newman.
Sorry, Jeff Newman. I completely agree with that sentiment. I think at this point in time, because we're negotiating our agreement, I don't know if we want to file a comment that would incite people to get pissed off at us, excuse my language, sorry, get mad at us, and then just have them take it out on our negotiations. So while I agree with those sentiments, I'm okay with filing comments, completely supporting the agreement and saying we think it strikes the right balance. But to go any further than that might backfire on us in our negotiations.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm obviously sensitive to the dynamics that are going on. So, you know, we can take it offline and talk about it and, you know, see how the week progresses, I suppose. See what it makes sense to do. Anything else on the RIA? Otherwise, I think we could move on to the council. Oh, James, go ahead.
And not on the RIA and not necessarily part of your RA, but at some point we're going to have to discuss our RAs and how those are going to look. I think those, between these two groups, we need to open those conversations. Yeah.
So I know, so some of us have already started this discussion within, I'll give a little plug to the NTAG, and Staten actually has been, let's see here, I know he's on, there he is. Staten has been leading an effort with a bunch of people on the NTAG to work on kind of a model RRA to make it at least look similar in a lot of the TLDs, and so maybe it's a good idea to bring once that group has kind of gotten it's still in its kind of formative and beginning stages, but once that group's kind of progressed a little, it's probably a good idea to bring them together with the registrars.
Sorry. One more follow-up question, comment, is that I posed this question in the negotiation sessions and earlier to this group, and it seems like, and now ICANN is, through Cyrus, is starting to, the ball is rolling downhill, and I wanted to raise the issue with the registries and NTAG as well, is there is so much operational and development work coming down the pipeline, whether you look at just the new policies that are going to be implemented, the RRA, the RAA, the RA, and the Trademark Clearinghouse, as well as just the, you know, the abstract of adding all these new GTLDs. So I'm trying to build momentum for this idea that sometime after Durban, but before we get too far into the autumn, that there'll be some sort of a summit that's not necessarily policy focused, but it's kind of how do we make all this stuff come true? You know, right now we've developed a lot of words on papers and votes and things, but somebody's going to have to sit down and write code and develop procedures. And some of it may be seen as competitive differentiators, and that's fine, and that's off the table, but some of it, isn't. And I think might benefit from a group discussion. Would that be something that registries and NTAG would want to be a party to as well?
And we think it would be great if GoDaddy would sponsor it. That'd be fantastic.
You don't want it, we're going to do it in like in August. You want to come to Phoenix?
August to Phoenix.
No, ICANN was actually talking about helping out here, either their office or at a venue close by. So we're talking, you know, I mean, all this stuff is just really in the, you know, germination phase here, but we're thinking that this is something like this has to happen. There's just way too much stuff coming down the pipeline in a very short period of time.
Yeah, this is Keith. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, great. Sorry, John, that was thumbs up that you're good or that you want in the queue?
No, I agree.
You're great. Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay, I think let's move over to the other genus of motions, and I think Mason will... Oh, sorry, Jonathan. Wait, we got... Yeah. We're making Barry Hill work today. He's been running around.
Hello. Hello. Hi, it's Jonathan Robinson. Two things. One, I mean, actually, it's... It strikes me listening to James's comment that I think the last time we tried to do something like that was the Trademark Clearinghouse. So we need to be careful what we wish for. But that's on the implementation side. But on the motions, just to be clear, we've discussed one. There is one more, and that's it. There are no others. Okay, so the only other one is the one from Maria Farrell, which I think is a work in progress. So it looks like that may change, but we don't have any firm indication of how it has changed at this stage.
Thanks, Jonathan. Holt. Yeah.
I just wanted to say what a smashing success that was, by the way, compared to the original spec that was put out by, if you remember. So.
Yeah. Okay, I've got Mason and Stefan. Mason.
I was just going to introduce the what the motion was about. In essence, what Maria is upset about is the policy versus implementation decision made by FADI or staff at some level. And the motion asks the board to reconsider the course of action of that decision and not implement the trademark plus 50 additional terms until the GNSO votes in favor of it.
Stefan. Thanks, Matt. This is Stefan Van Gelder. Just maybe a bit more context on this. It might be useful for you, Jonathan, as well. We feel, the registrars, that the motion itself, as drafted, would be difficult, but that the message might be worthwhile pursuing. So we have had discussions with the NCSG on this. It may be, and I don't want to overstep and announce things that I haven't had confirmation of, but it may be that the motion will be rephrased more as a statement than just a motion asking for the board, as Mason has described, asking for the board to take a position on something that they really have no business taking a position on. I've kind of lost track of what the GNSO Council's doing. I apologize, but I believe you have sent or have decided to send recently a statement to FADI anyway. So one of the questions we had for the NCSG was how much overlap there might be between a statement that you might have already formed and one that might get resent asking basically for similar things. So perhaps there can be some clarity added to that. But this is something that we are discussing with them just to try and make sure that the NCSG doesn't feel that every time they propose something as well, should maybe finish there. We just directly oppose it as contracted parties. We feel that it's worth also building bridges there and making sure that there is a good working relationship with that side of the house.
I can respond to that, Stefan. Number one, I agree with you that that approach is healthy. We don't want to just, kick out any motion automatically. The status of communication about the straw man proposals is that FADI requested that the GNSO provide policy advice by the end of February, which we did in a letter that the majority of the council, not all of it, it's not unanimous, but the majority of the council supported. And the position on Trademark Plus 50 was that the council viewed that as policy and it deserved council attention if it were to be implemented. The others, I think, pretty much the decisions made about the other ones by staff followed the GNSO's way of thinking about whether they were policy or implementation.
Okay, I think Jeff Newman had a comment.
Yes, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. The way the motion's drafted is really inflammatory. I mean, there's just a bunch of language in there that's just kind of poking Fadi and just bashing him, which I don't think is the right tact. But that said, I think we are ready to have a conversation during the council meeting, kind of supporting a couple things. Number one is that, and we said this to the board actually directly, and Stefan, you may have been, it may be, have been towards the end, where we basically said that, look, the GNSO is the policy development body. It is not a policy development body within ICANN. It is the policy development body at ICANN with respect to GTLD policy. And so that being the case, if any other entity or anything outside the GNSO, whether it's the GAC, the ALAC, the IPC separately lobbying them, anyone comes directly to the board, if the board is thinking about going in a direction that is not consistent with the advice given by the GNSO, then the board should have an obligation to come back to the GNSO to get at least, at the very least, its response and a recognition that the GNSO is the policy development body. And I think that's going to rear its ugly head with GAC advice this week again. And so I think, again, I think we support the notion of the non-commercials in the sense that we are the policy-making body, and if we say something is policy, at the very least, even if you disagree, board or staff, you need to come back to us, the GNSO community, and for a response, apply, explanation, you name it. And so I think that's one thing we take away from the motion. And then on an implementation level, one of the points we want to make, and it was raised by actually John Nevitt, was, you know, we thought that the extension of 60 to 90 days may have been a policy matter. And not only did the board kind of just do it anyway, but with the release of the ICANN fees that they're charging for the clearinghouse, not only do we have an extra 30 days of claims, but now with 30 cents a transaction, they've now increased our costs without ever coming back to us to kind of either defray those costs. Does that make sense? We have 30 days extra of cost that we didn't have before. I don't know if John wants to restate it, but that's basically it. So those were a couple points we wanted to make during the during that discussion.
Yeah, so
Stefan. Yeah.
Thanks. That's Stefan Van Gelder again. I just want to I was in that discussion when you made that point, and you made so very eloquently. You made, I think, a very important point. Thank you for making it to the board. It's a specific. We're going from a specific point, but it's a general point that we should be going to, and this is why I think we should be speaking to the NCSG. I agree with you, and this is what we were saying earlier on, that the motion itself is not drafted the way we'd like to see it drafted now. However, the idea, this constant bashing of the model, which means that the GNSO, being the policy development manager, the manager of that process, is constantly overruled by people going to whatever, the GAC or someone else, and there's never an end to the conversation. You can always reopen anything that's been set. This is what you said to the board, and I think that message did get across. Those conversations are never closed. And until and unless the GNSO Council is made the full stop in the management of that policy making, then that will never happen. And I believe that's the NCSG's message. So I believe the essence of that message may need to be redrafted in a comment, and this is what Matt and myself and others have proposed to them as maybe an avenue for taking this motion, which could be considered right now just a placeholder for tomorrow's council meeting, and taking that motion to somewhere where others may be able to side along with it.
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. Yeah, Jonathan. Oh, no, he'll come to you. It's fine.
I lost the bet.
Thanks, John. It's Jonathan Robinson. Stefan, just to pick up from where you left off, I mean, the alternative or a variation on that is that that motion directs the council to write a letter reinforcing those points. But I should reiterate that those points have been made directly to the board in the council meeting with the board, in the registry stakeholder group meeting with the board, and my impression is that the board, and indeed Fadi himself, and I've spoken to individual board members and to Fadi on this issue, I think that message has come through very loud and clear during the course of that meeting. There's not a reason why we shouldn't put a full stop under it with a letter or a motion that expresses that, but I'm in no doubt that we have made that point and we should be able to do that elegantly and properly without being inflammatory. So thanks very much.
Yeah. We are running a little close to the start of the board GAC session that we want to try to get to. So any other – I think we've got a path forward on the motion, and we'll continue that before the council meeting tomorrow. The last issue I think we had was to just get a quick update from Chuck, if you could give us an update on the IGO issue and have any discussion on that, and then hopefully we can wrap in a few minutes. Thanks.
Thank you. It probably should be David, but for sake of time, I'll go ahead because David's our rep on that group, but we both serve on that group. The registry stakeholder group decided today to support protection. We already had agreed to support protection of the IGO, INGO, for the Red Cross IOC names at the top and second level, a finite list provided by the GAC. We expanded that today to support the GAC's list, and they now have a finite list of 192 or so names of IGOs, and they've got some criteria that those match. Again, a finite list, protection at the top and second level. With an exception procedure in both cases, it's probably less meaningful for the IGO full names. We also, with regard to acronyms of the IGOs, we're not supportive of just protecting acronyms. But we would be supportive, and this is a suggestion that's come out of the working group, allowing the IGOs, if they wanted to submit their acronyms into the trademark clearinghouse. Probably has to come up with a new name because they're not trademarks in most cases. And that would be a means of accommodating the IGOs with regard to acronyms. But we're definitely not supportive of just protecting acronyms at the same level as the full names.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. Mason, go ahead.
Chuck, just to make sure I have the facts right, I believe what I read was that the GAC is asking for protection of both the term and the acronym, correct?
Good question, Mason. I had to leave the IGO, INGO, PDP working group meeting a little bit early, and I had a nice conversation with Heather. When you look at their letter, it looks that way. She tells me they're not. That's not a done issue. And my understanding, although I haven't seen the communication, and we may get some insight in this board GAC meeting because I understand one of the board members is going to ask some questions in this regard, the board is pushing back on the acronyms as well. But again, there's an alternative that's on the table, at least briefly, to provide another way to deal with the acronyms that doesn't just give them the protection that they're asking for.
All right. Thank you, Chuck.
Any other comments on that one? Okay. Well, I think we've got just about 5 minutes to get ourselves up to the GAC room, so it was good that we were able to wrap a little bit early and get ourselves there. Thank you to the Registry Stakeholder Group for their time today and their continued dialogue and discussions that we've had. Thank you all for your participation today. Thank you to staff, the technical folks, the folks that handled the room. And the GAC room is upstairs. It's in the big room, right? Or no? Oh, is it in B? Okay, yeah. Function B. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Well. 4:45.
The way everybody comes by and kept getting spun around saying hello, hello.